Mosiah chapter 5. In the first three verses, Mosiah goes throughout the land and asks them what they thought about his dissertation, and did they really believe the word? And they came back and said, yes, they did. And they did because the Spirit had manifest things unto them. Now notice again, this is another important concept, and that is a principle, and that is that he's a great prophet and leader, but they just don't follow him, and because he's a great prophet and leader, they do what he says and then blindly go on their way. They only considered what he said to be truth because the Spirit had manifested unto them. And that's the that's an important precedence here. And not only that, in verse 5 we see that then they wanted to enter into a covenant with God. And they didn't want to take an oath, or they did not want to sustain the king so that the king could then give them the ordinances, as we have in have the leader of the church now say, to come and sustain, be sustained and take an oath to us, then we will let you have the saving ordinances. No, they look beyond the ordinance, and they look beyond the leaders, and they look right to God, and then they realize that an ordinance is for a covenant. And what is the covenant that they want to take? That if they will keep the commandments of God, then they will be delivered from hell. And there it is. They do what, they keep the commandments, and again, God keeps his side, which is to deliver them from hell. Now, did King Benjamin feel slighted about this? No, he was a righteous king, so he didn't care about their loyalty to him. All he wanted to do was direct them to Christ and to God. And so, therefore, he was happy. And this was in verse 6, so that's exactly what he wanted. And he said, and not only that, he says, this is how you become true followers of Christ. Again, you don't become followers of the leaders of the church or him. This is how you become followers of Christ, and it's by making such a covenant with him. And then if you do that, Christ becomes our Father. And that means he becomes our eternal Father. And when he becomes our eternal Father, that means that he does the things that a father would do for us, meaning executing the plan of salvation here, he provides for us, he protects us, and he progresses us for eternity. And that is indeed what he does for us in this life. And none of the other things are done by someone else. So therefore, in fact, we become the literal children of Christ, and we have to pay this literary meaning that we, and he expects us to act like children, and that means be completely submissive to him. And if you do this, then you are free, and it means literally free, meaning that the world no longer is your provider, and the Lord will protect you from your enemies, including the government, the church, and the business, and anyone that tries to attack you or hurt you, and then he not only that, he'll act as your personal progressor, and he'll set up all the opportunities and everything for you to grow. And this is your free choice. Even after you make the choice, it's your free choice to choose him, and then he creates opportunities for you to grow. Well, it's up to you to make the choice. Do you want to continue on these opportunities? Do you want to make the right? Do you want to choose the right opportunities and take them? Well, if you listen to the Spirit, then you'll obviously make the best choice, but you're not forced to do that, you're expected to make some mistakes so that you can see error and that you can grow. And again, just like children, he will help you through these things, but also you have to do it through your own free choice so that you might grow. Now you have to really have faith to believe these things. Do you really believe he's in charge of your life? And that no one else in this world can have any effect on your life. Well, it takes great faith to believe that, and that is again the mark of becoming a true follower of Christ. And that's what you have to do to be a true follower of him. You mean literally, he is your leader, he is your father. You must believe it literally, and nothing else in this world is as powerful as him, and that therefore everything you do is with respect to him, and any interference or anything you have from the world is only a learning experience. But if the world wants to throw you into prison, then you'll go to prison. But that's only because it's a learning experience that Christ wants you to have. But as soon as he's done with it, he'll make the walls fall down to let you out. And this is how you have to think about Christ, that everything you do in this life is with him. He is in charge, and everybody else really can have no power over you unless the Savior should say so. Notice that throughout the Book of Mormon, these men are thrown into prison, that they believe in the Lord, and that they their faith continues on in them. And so, in fact, they have chosen that opportunity, meaning they have chosen these to take whatever experiences that the Lord has for them. And then they keep their eyes single to Him. And in verses 9 and 10, it tells us, therefore, then, what we're to be called. And it says that we're to be called Christians, or we're to take upon ourselves the name of Christ. We do not take upon ourselves any other name. If you take on any other name, you're on the wrong side of God. We do not take on ourselves the name of Mormon. The reason we don't do that is it implies we're part of a Mormon church, which means that we are not followers of Christ, but we're followers of church, we're followers of something else, and it is very literal that we take upon ourselves the name of Christ. And it says in 12 that we need to retain this name. And to do that, we need to hear and know the voice of the Spirit of Christ. And that, obviously, you must do by seeking it and following it. For as it says in verse 13, it says, "For how knoweth a man the master whom he hath not served?" Meaning that in order to truly know the Savior and have His name upon you, you must seek out, because He's your master. You want to seek out the information, obviously, of a master, and you hear that through His Spirit, and then you follow it. And as you follow it, you begin to know the master better. You begin to know Christ, and then, therefore, if you know Him, He knows you. And then on the last days, when it says many will come unto Him, and He will say, "I know you not," well, He'll know you, because obviously a knowledge of you means you had a knowledge of Him, and you've created that clear relationship. And then what's powerful, though, is if you truly become the Christ children, and you truly enter in this covenant, you continue to follow His voice, then no other man will even want you. Well, in a lot of cases, this will seem as persecution. This will seem that you're being pushed off and put out, and you'll feel, maybe you'll want to feel lonely in the world, but to Christ, then you are truly His. And He's still going to give you affliction, and He's going to still stretch your faith. So there'll be times, if for your own growth, that these will be quite trials, because we don't have perfect faith right now. But nonetheless, the important thing is that if you keep your eyes single to Jesus Christ, then He will make you His. And again, as I say, that no one else will want you, and you'll begin to notice that no one else will want you, and that people will begin to see that they can't have you, and that you can't even be converted unto them. So therefore, He admonishes you in verse 15 that you to do whatever you can to have Christ and have Christ continue to seal you His. And that means that He accepts you, and the way He accepts you again is to go unto Him and follow His Spirit, and the Spirit that He gives you, and do exactly what He says.